following program is brought to you in living color.
In tasting wines, there's three things that you watch and enjoy. One is the color of the wine. See how nice the color of this is? And the next thing is the aroma. And you smell the product. Hold it.
Hold it by the stem.
Yeah, the proper way is right here.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
I've never taken orders from anyone. As long as I live, I'll never take orders from anyone. I'm young and strong and nothing can touch me.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to a show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, and today especially, everything you never wanted to know about wine, but we're going to have to hear about anyway. Yes, today is a very, very special show. As my producer is calling it, this is a glorified science experiment. Because we do know that after a while, you may shockingly get tired of hearing my voice solely here on The Crush. Well, today we may overwhelm you because we're doing something entirely different. Today, yes, we're going to have seven people in the studio dropping in, saying hello, putting their 2 cents worth in, a little bit of everything. And at the heart of all that, yes, after all my years of bashing the French and talking about the fact that they're beating on the studio with a baguette and their berets or throwing their guns down randomly, I have allowed one in the studio. Not only have I allowed one in the studio, I have given him copious amounts of alcohol and let him bring in a sword. So, for better or worse, this may be the last show you ever hear, Laura Lawson, hosted by The Wine Crush. But until that point, we're going to have a lot of laughter, a lot of fun. It is my pleasure now to introduce our special guest. We have Jerome Gendin. He is the International Ambassador for Tattinger Champagne. And for our loyal listeners, you know that that is my lifeblood, my favorite champagne, the wine I choose to celebrate with. So I figured what better time to actually extend the olive branch than with the man behind my favorite bubbles. Jerome, welcome to the studio and welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thanks, Laurie.
It is nice to have you here. Now, for our listeners, before this thing goes downhill like I anticipate it to, let me tell you how all this started and how the concept of this particular incident of The Crush came about. Jerome was in town to do a lovely luncheon for some of my favorite people in the wine business. I figured that we'd get some nice, civilized, sophisticated people together. I'd bring a man to talk about champagne and the finer points of this excellent beverage, and that all of us would have this great intellectual conversation. I should have known better by the time I got my group of friends together that by the time you gave them alcohol, the whole concept was going to go out the window. So the more we drank Tattinger, the more we discussed the idea of how champagne affects what we do in our lifestyles, the more it became, let's just say, a little bit unbalanced. So the more we drank, we decided to reenact that whole luncheon for y'all's benefit. So in doing so, to let you know about our other fine studio guests today, we have Mr. Peter Grills of the Ballantine Hotel.
Hi.
We have Gary Oikemus. Of course, our loyal listeners will recognize my occasional fill-in guest host. Gary, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back.
It's nice to see you back in that chair, at least what I can see of your head. All right.
Shiny, isn't it?
Huh?
Shiny, isn't it?
Well, the glare is getting me a little bit, but we'll forgive you. Things have changed in a bit. We also have a special guest, Frank. Frank, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. How are you, Laura?
I'm lovely. He's our mystery guest. He's sitting over there with a mask and a cape. You never know what's going to happen. Now, the rest of our peanut gallery is comprised by some odds and ends friends, some girls who absolutely love some bubbles, and, of course, the man behind bringing Jerome in town, Mr. Sean Nowak of Cobrand Corporation.
Hello.
So, as you can tell, I want everyone to note how quiet everyone is at the start of this because I'm sure it's going to go downhill. But as always, we encourage you to call and let us know what you think of The Crush. Give us a call, 1-800-477-CRUSH, or call us on the wine line, 877-4-CRUSH-1. But also, you can email me directly, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Well, enough of the setting of the scene, enough of letting you know what's going on. Jerome, we're here to talk about champagne. We're here to talk about relations between the American and French. And, of course, we're here to hear all about what you think about champagne, Americans, and how the transition is going. So having said that, Jerome, let's start with your biography. How did you get involved with Tattinger?
Long story. I did law school. Nobody's perfect, correct?
Correct.
Especially in USA.
So not only are you French, you're a lawyer?
Yeah, I was.
And I let you in here with a sword.
Yeah, you see.
Okay, good.
That's okay. I know you're going to assume me you're American, but that's no problem for me.
Yes, what
I
is
got
it?
A French passport.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't you think Americans have a favorite sport?
Yeah, national sports to sue everybody else.
Very, very nice.
Yeah. And French is to cheat the government because we hate paying taxes.
So if we put us both together, then we can actually cheat the government and then sue them?
That would be great.
See, there we go.
We can celebrate and drink more champagne.
Perfect. All right. But we digress. How'd you get involved with Tattinger?
A long story short, after a while, you know, in luxury business, in car business and software as well, and I used to work for Hermes. I've been just sending some resume after my EMBA I passed in London because I wanted to boost my career. It was 5 years ago.
So essentially, you're intelligent. You are actually educated beyond your intelligence.
We'll say that in 2 hours.
Okay.
So I sent some resume, and a couple of companies answered right away. And one of them was Tattinger. And it was a really, really a kind of a, I would say, a crash, you know, in a good way.
A crash?
In a good way. It was a crash, a chaos, passioning meeting with Mr. Tattinger, as we say in French. And he told me we need somebody for North America and the world as well, but let's start with North America. Are you ready to go there? Because there is one request, you have to leave in USA. My answer was, when do I take off?
Oh, I knew there was a reason I liked you.
I'm from Normandy. I'm not French.
Okay, so you've actually been adapted to the American culture then.
More than that, you came to my country. You remember that?
Vaguely. You're the only one old enough in the room to remember it, but certainly wasn't me.
No, just me, you know, a couple of points of the history, but that's fine. We're going to talk about that later.
All right.
So that's how I came to Tattinger, and I came right away after a training. I passed a degree in the Champagne Institute in Champagne Vineyard in the town called AI or AY. And I came here in spring 05, so it's going to be 5 years in a couple of weeks. I'm here living in USA and happy to live here.
So you live here permanently?
Correct. I love your country. You know why?
Why?
I don't pay so much taxes regarding France.
I can understand that. Living here so long, does that make you a dual citizen?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Are you going to apply?
Maybe. It takes 7 years before you're able to apply.
Do we get to vote?
Yes, you can vote, guys.
Okay.
I mean, you know what? This country didn't request me. I request this country. So let's be humble. We'll see.
All right. Well, we'll have to wait 2 more years and we'll all take a vote and see whether or not we're going to let you in.
Laura, if you vote, I think everybody's going to follow.
If he keeps bringing champagne, we'll vote him in.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So you obviously have had a great 5 years with Tattinger. You've become very, very familiar with the brand. As you come to the States to sell Tattinger, what is the most predominant thing on your mind? When you come in, you see American culture, you see what we're drinking. Do you see Tattinger as a challenge? Do you see it as an advocacy? How do you look at Americans with regard to your champagne?
First of all, and instead of talking only about Tattinger, but champagne in general, this country has been, for many reasons I still ignore or don't understand, think that champagne is for celebration. The way celebration we think in Europe and you think is really, really different. You think only 4 or 5 days per year. We do 4 or 5 days per week. So that's the first challenge, whatever the champagne house you carry or you represent. Second of all, regarding Tattinger, that's true that we've got just to give more time to this country to get more knowledgeable about champagne.
Okay.
You know, many people give, you know, hard time to this country. 35 years ago, you used to drink beer and bourbon, that's it. So you improve a lot about wine, production of wine and everything. So give time to time, but we're going to reach the target.
So we're moving in the right direction.
Definitely.
All right, we're going to take a small break right here. And for our listeners, this is probably the calmest it's going to be. But when we return, more questions on champagne, more questions about American-French relations, and we'll see if we can keep the peace at least for a little bit longer.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax
tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. 800-281-7048. That's 800-281-7048.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751. 1-800-542-6751.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the woods, just outside of town.
Oh, not surprising. You've got your home. Bears have theirs.
Yeah, but see, this wasn't just any bear. This bear was wearing jeans and a hat, as in a Smokey Bear.
Jeans and a hat. That's definitely Smokey. What exactly did he have to say?
Well, we were about to head home, you know, after having a bonfire.
Oh, I can guess where this is going.
Right, right. See, Smokey told me the fire wasn't actually out. He said if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
That's true. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Wow, no kidding?
I'm a forest ranger. We never kid.
Sorry.
That was a joke.
Oh.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
And welcome back to this special edition of the Wine Crush. For those of you just catching on, there are 5 of us, at least, at any given time in the studio. The important man being Jerome Jardin, from this point on known as JJ, because as I've been told, Southerners can't speak French and shouldn't try. So JJ, our international director of Tattinger, is our special guest, and we have made it through the first segment without anybody killing each other. So I consider that great. But also, for those of you listening, please know, there are 7 different bottles of Tattinger floating around the studio and a 3-liter. So as we continue on with the day, I'm sure it's going to get more entertaining. And Kent, are you hanging in there?
So far, so good.
How's the bleep button going?
It's going great. I'm right on top of it. No problem. I'm just glad to see that you have friends.
I do have friends, socially. It's shocking.
Yeah.
Although one of them just surprised me. They asked me what I did to write the show. And
that
I thought,
you write the
yes,
show?
Yes, to write the
oh,
show.
Okay.
Yes.
How nice.
Yes, we do that very well, which is why Kent sits on the bleep button. All right, so we are off and rolling. We are having a little bit of champagne. And just so you will stick around, We let Jerome, or JJ, into the studio specifically with a knife because we are going to saber a bottle of champagne, which means he's going to willingly cut the top off of a live bottle. For those of you who are really into, I don't know, it's kind of like NASCAR. You watch it so you can see the wrecks. Stick around and listen to this one. We'll see if there's any bloodshed before it's all said and done. So we were having a little bit of fun before we took a break, and we were talking about Jerome living in the States and representing Tattinger. And, of course, he said a couple of things I wanted to follow up on. Jerome, I have been in the wine business for such a long time. I have called it Tattinger ever since. Am I incorrect?
No, nobody's incorrect. Nobody is wrong. Nobody is right. It's Tattinger in French, but as long as you drink it, we really don't care.
Doesn't matter. The more you drink, you can't say it anyway?
No, whatever. You say Tattinger like on the West Coast, Tattinger on the East Coast. Oh, we go hunting with Tattinger, whatever. Drink it.
Very nice. Once again, Jerome's having fun with the Southern accent thing. It's going to get ugly. Just be warned. All right. Actually, we were laughing. I mentioned earlier in the segment that we talked about this whole concept over a lunch we did, once again, with a lot of champagne. But the fact that Jerome just said something about Tatty. Jerome, the story you told us at the lunch about a media opportunity you had with a local celebrity, would you care to tell our listeners about that, please?
Which story?
This is the one with you and Jay-Z.
Oh, no. It's not me. It was Jay-Z. But Jay-Z, when, of course, he kicked out Crystal of his club, you know, kept asking all the big champagne houses, you know, about, you know, a partnership. But unfortunately, we're not on the same page. Let's put it that way. Some people consider the champagne as free, whatever it's mine or somebody else. I don't think it should be free. But in this country, it sounds like funny. You know, you have like an event. Oh, I'm going to have the press, the media, whatever. So I need 120 cases of champagne. It's going to be great. Yeah, especially for you, not for me. It's a hardest way to produce a bottle of wine is champagne. It's really expensive because it's a small vineyard. So people don't understand that. They always think that we're flying in private jet and everything. We do not complain, but it's not the case. Why? Because if you put the money in marketing and private jet, you don't have a good stuff. So there's two ways of doing above champagne. So coming back to the subject, I got your point. Short question, long answer, typical French. This famous, you know,
short
man.
Something else, typical French, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. What?
Nothing.
The tongue, darling? Go to the point. So he asked us, I would say, to Dom Perignon, Grand Dame, you know, and the others, and one of us, it was Tattinger, to have the famous Comte de Champagne in his clubs. But I would say the contract was really, really not fair on our side. And I told him, you know, whatever he was really famous, which is correct, we're in the business in 1734. So I would have loved or appreciate, I would say, a more manners or respectable behavior.
Absolutely. But it seems to me you came up with a particular rap, so you convinced Jay-Z to put it in a song.
But at the same time, he told me, why should I have Tattinger if I want it in my club? And I say, you know, you represent a big world of rappers, yo. So I told him that we have got a song of Tattinger, that I drive my caddy, smoke my fatty, and sip my teddy, yo. And he just loved it. Because he couldn't expect from a classical Frenchman that I would say so and I will know a little bit his world. So he laughed and he said, I just love it, but I stay on my contract and on the numbers. I say, sir, so you know what? We'll stay on our side and I respect you. And he came to another brand, which is successful and great for him.
I think so. For our listeners, if you get a chance, of course, there's going to be various web posting. This is actually going to be one of those wine crushes you're going to get to watch as well as listen. We're going to punish you twice before it's said and done. So as you think about that rap song that Jerome just came on, please pop on thewinecrush.com. And once you take a look at the wonderful, charming, little elegant man that is sitting to my left, it will really hit home with you how entertaining that story is. All right, we're talking about champagne and its impact in America, and I think a lot of people have questions when it comes to champagne. I agree with something you said wholeheartedly, and I know it's something that the room has discussed. I think it's just an aberration that the American public thinks that the only time they can drink champagne is to celebrate. And as a group forum, what can we do to get away from that? You know, our listeners, obviously, we need to encourage you that champagne is not just for Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve, but you know, we have different clubs represented here. We have different hotels. Peter, what do y'all do in your hotels to get people away from just drinking champagne on these special occasions?
We think it's a great starter, really, for any meal that somebody's having. So if they're coming into the restaurant as opposed to starting with a cocktail, that's That's the suggestion that we make when somebody sits down in the restaurant.
Do people find this price prohibitive? I know. I mean, let's face facts. I wouldn't have seven bottles of Tattinger floating around the room if I hadn't twisted Jerome's arm. So obviously, is there an expense factor as people go into this?
Well, one of the good things about Tattinger is that there are different price points with the wine. So you can offer it by the glass, and that's where we've probably been the most successful, where somebody can get in and try a glass of it, not spend a tremendous amount of money, and then they're learning about the product if they've never had it before and can, in a sense, order up if they want something a little bit better.
Well, in that kind of sense, when we look at things, I know that some people, I've heard this from other champagne houses and producers, that they don't like people serving champagne by the glass if they're serving out of 750 bottles, for the simple fact that if they only serve one glass, it gets flat. Jerome, how do you feel about that?
That's a wrong perception. Of course, if you leave the bottle open, you know, when you pour.
Focus, sweetheart, focus.
Yes, I focus, darling. It just impressed me. You're so cute. So I was saying that when you pour one glass, you know, I got you. When you pour one glass, you don't put a stopper, which means the system on the top of the bottle to, I would say, save the bubbles. Of course, it's going to get flat, but not in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Not number one. Number two, you know, you let open the bottle a couple of hours and you still enjoy the bubbles. And your palate, you know, I would say, deserved and appreciate even better smaller bubbles, less bubbly, because it's still a wine. Number three, for the restaurants, you know, or hotels, you know, part, when people drink champagne, you know, you pour a bottle in one afternoon or one dinner, it's okay.
Or kind of like at my house where you pour it in, I don't know, an hour and a half if me and the blonde are drinking it. So
yeah,
we
but
get that.
You know, I still have this stupid question. What do I do with what is left in the bottle? My answer is next. I don't have any time to interview those people who drink that way or think that way. Drink it, damn it, period.
I like the way you think. All right, so we are asking questions on champagne. We are having a lot of fun today, but we encourage you, call in. Let us know what your questions about champagne are. Call us 877-4CRUSH1 or email us Laura Lawson, LauraLawson at winecrush.com. Even though we are going to be towards the end of the show at some point, doesn't mean we can't talk Jerome into coming back, or as always, I am your answer person. Well, we're having a lot of fun here, but we got to take a small break. When we return, of course, we're going to take calls from you and have more insightful comments from JJ.
Travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. 800-989-0233. That's 800-989-0233.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy
backsplash.
When I grow up,
I want to be a bike that races around the
country. When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I want to be a rocking chair on
when
a sunny
I grow up,
porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be
a...
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 I want to be
a... When I grow up,
I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
So we've got our neighbor Paul coming over tonight for a barbecue, which is why I prepared a delicious lemon rosemary steak marinade from my special collection of old family recipes. To make sure the steaks are extra, extra, extra tender, I left them marinating out on the counter overnight, just like Nana used to.
Maria may mean well, but without food safety, it never ends well. Always thaw or marinate foods in the refrigerator at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or you could make your friends and family really sick. Maria's neighbor Paul didn't think twice about the steak he ate until he was presenting his company's financial forecast to the board. That's when a sudden bout of food poisoning made it explicitly clear that profits weren't the only thing on the rise. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov. You'll learn the right steps as Maria does everything wrong. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed.
You're listening to The Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva. Today we're not just sipping on Chardonnay, we are guzzling champagne, and we are doing it with the pleasure with Mr. Jerome Gendine. He is the International Director of Tattinger, and I'm going to try 18 different ways to pronounce his name just to have a little bit of fun and see if I can make his face turn red. So we're having a lot of fun with that, and our in-studio guest. But, of course, this show is nothing if it's not about you. And, of course, the wine line is wide open today. And for those of you who have not called it before, 877-4-CRUSH-1. But right now we have a call on the wine line with some specific champagne questions. Actually, right now we're having a few technical difficulties, so we'll just have to go back into the studio and figure that one out. See, Jerome, we have technical difficulties in the United States as well. But you should know that. You had problems getting here, didn't you?
It happens to anybody. No, it was not technical. It was just weather. Bad weather you had like 2 days ago. I had in New York City, and we couldn't take off. That happens to everybody. So blame your country.
So it had nothing to do with the fact that we banned you from the studio for a while.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
All
Definitely not.
Well, for our listeners, I know we've been cutting up a little bit here, but I do have some very specific champagne questions that may help all of us. Jerome, you've lived here in the States for a while, so I'm trying to do some compare and contrast. When you think about the area of Champagne, the region of Champagne, give our listeners an idea of the scope of the size of it. Are we talking something the size of Rhode Island? Are we talking something the size of Texas? Put it in perspective for our listeners.
Okay, right now the vineyard Champagne, which is planted and running for being, you know, pressed and used as production, is 35,000 hectares, which means 87,000 acres.
I was about to say, you Europeans always do this hectares kind of thing, and it confuses the rest of us. Speak English.
Listen until the end of the question and after criticize. I was not finished.
Okay.
So I was saying, when you interrupt me, that 87,000 acres, that means if you put all the entire vineyard, wherever they are located on this planet together, will represent 1%. Now you got a picture. So it's really tiny. You want to keep it that way. Even recently, and I know your next question, that's why I just anticipate about your nasty behavior. that
I
we extend.
Being nasty,
yeah,
yet, you're
you are
frog.
Definitely, and
I
love
really
it.
Like this guy. Yes. I like this guy.
And so we extend truly for truly reason that because the new market like India, China, and Middle East is going to be so big and growing so much that we wanted to keep the kind of a tiny vineyard even when extend it, and we extend it around like 14%.
All right. I love the fact that you think you're in my head. You still haven't answered my question. 87,000 acres. Is that closer to Rhode Island or Texas?
I have no idea. Give me Texas and Rhode Island. How many acres?
Okay.
Do you know your geography, honey?
I know the size.
Yeah, you don't know. You know the size.
That's
what
why
size?
I'm trying to put it in perspective. Yeah. 87,000 acres, gentlemen.
I put it in perspective. I say 1% of the entire world vineyard.
What?
I said that. So 1%. It's tiny. It cannot be tinier.
Gentlemen, do y'all have any idea of how to conceptualize 87,000 acres?
Manhattan.
Manhattan. So we're dealing with something the size of the Manhattan. And four of our peanut gallery back here, I've heard the comment that women always make it smaller anyway. That's just a male perception, dear. That's why men can't read a map. Ultimately, they always think an inch is a mile. God forbid.
That's why you cannot park a car.
Why? Who can't park a car?
Girls. You know why?
Why?
That's a European joke, so don't take offense. Don't sue me. That's because it has centuries. We make you thinking that is 30 inches.
Oh, yes, you are definitely going to have to sit back and watch this one on the website. So we are having fun here in the studio, and of course, we're talking a little bit about champagne. But right now, indeed, it seems like we have recovered from our technical difficulties, and we do have a call on the wine line. Right now, we have Barry, and Barry is calling from New York. Barry, welcome to the Wine Crush. Are you sure you're up for this?
Hey, Laura, I'm ready for you anytime. Really love the show, especially up here in upstate New York.
Well,
it's really cold this time of year.
My heart goes out to you. At least it's easy to keep your champagne chilled. Just set it on the back porch.
Exactly. We're year-round champagne drinkers here, and we were curious. We actually do also like the domestic sparkling wines, and I was wondering how the recession might be affecting the champagne business.
So, Barry, you're talking about the Domaine Canaros we own in Napa?
That would be the specific one, absolutely.
Okay.
We also like some of the Pacific Northwest bottles, but certainly, yes, your brand is one of our faves as well.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely during the crisis, people just, you know, came down one or two steps, definitely to sparkling wine, especially local sparkling wine, to, I would say, support their local industry and, you know, American product, which totally makes sense on my side. Now, obviously, the euro was a little bit less expensive in 08, where the 1.35, you know, currency exchange. So we could bring a lot of champagne and put some money, that's what we did, all of us, all champagne together, whatever the name, to put down the pricing. And I'm sure you noticed under the shelves, it's inexpensive regarding what it used to be 2 years ago.
Yes, I've noticed that. Actually, in a lot of the grocery stores, I've noticed what seemed to be display space here in our New York market, where they're making it available and kind of enticing us to sample some of the champagnes and sparkling wines that we had previously maybe not have had such visibility of those brands.
Yeah, sometimes we work.
Yeah, actually,
very good,
Barry. I'm going to carry on your question because it's interesting. Obviously, we know that vintage champagne. There's certain years where champagne is made. Is champagne in the same situation, not necessarily Tattinger, you can answer for Tattinger, mm-hmm. champagne as a whole, you see a lot of still wines that are behind on their vintages as they try and roll out the new vintages, they're still stockpiled on the old ones. Is that affecting champagne or are we going to see further price reductions?
Yes and no, but in champagne, as you know, we do not have to do a vintage champagne every year. We do it when we want, and normally a decent champagne house choose the most exceptional, you know, harvest. Though having said that, let's say average you got 5 vintage champagne per decade. So we're not running after the next vintage coming. But definitely that there was a no. The yes is we have the not vintage champagne, that which coming, you know, not next year but any time, and we have to do our numbers to make business, definitely. So that's why we get lower the pricing, we make some tasting like, you know, our dear gentleman, you know, was talking about, and we try to make visibility, make some packaging. Everything, you know, just to make it more attractive.
Makes sense. Well, Barry, thank you for calling in the Wine Crush. I hope we answered your question, and thank you for being a loyal listener. It's nice to know that Northerners do listen to
me.
Thanks, Barry.
We'll be listening.
You're a great market, upstate New York. Thanks.
I have another question for you, kind of following up on that. Do you see any of the champagne houses that might make a business decision based on how they're bottling their champagne and maybe choose to not do a vintage champagne in a specific year based on the economy, or is there always going to be a market for that vintage champagne?
I think it's going to be always a market, maybe a niche market right now, but always. It's possible what you say. We don't feel it because we talk to each other. It's a small vineyard, like I said. Even, you know, Laura had some difficulty to understand my perspective. But having said that, I would say the problem we have is just to keep the image. And champagne must stay a luxury. But, you know, when you go in a retail shop, you got the luxury product for $35. So when I hear, oh, it's expensive, I'm just asking each of you, listen to us, how many stuff you don't need in plastic, so not really green, if we want to be fashionable, you have in your basement and you try to sell during your weekend. And just make the account, just accounting all the invoices of your basement stuff and how many cases of champagne you could have.
I'm just thinking about how many cases of champagne I have in my basement. We're going to have to take a small break right here because, as always, we have to make spot for our commercial announcement. But when we return, we, of course, will further answer the luxury question. I have a couple of my own.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
800-296-1294. 800-296-1294. 800-296-1294. Once again, that's 800-296-1294.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Call OnCall Pharmacy right now and save as much as $700. 800-884-7919. OnCall Pharmacy delivers the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Call OnCall Pharmacy now and take advantage of this special offer. 800-884-7919. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919. 800-884-7919.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, couch purring, bed leaping, and of course, companionship.
Wonderful. And what breed would you say Nico is?
I'd have to go with a tabby-ish Persian kind of mix.
Tremendous cat.
I'd also like to point out her coat's wonderful mix of colors. Is it black, gray, black, brown?
Somewhere in between.
Indeed.
You know, it's always special when we get to see a cat like this.
Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And how she's so incredibly cute in her indifference to commands.
A strong-willed feline.
Ah, and see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
I know. Fantastic cat.
Fantastic indeed. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we have a studio full of people just to have fun, talk about champagne, and to see what's on everybody's mind. We're talking about whether champagne is a luxury, what goes in the champagne, French and American relations, you name it, the topic is wide open, and we are carrying on. I want to actually touch back on something we talked about before the break. Jerome, you made a great comment about champagne being a luxury, but you did say that champagne must always remain a luxury. Why is that?
Because it's a royal beverage.
Why is it a royal beverage? I mean, I know I'm a queen anyway. I am the queen of my realm. I am definitely a princess. But nevertheless, why is it considered a royal beverage?
Really, what I appreciate in you is your humility. So to answer to your question...
And it's taken many years to achieve that great humility.
I'm sure about that. So to answer to your question, that it has been introduced as a royal beverage because in Reims, or Reims, what you say in America, this special name we have for the capital, Champagne Vineyard, used to be the place where the kings in France were crowned. And, of course, they were crowned, and they had a party with the local one, which was champagne. At this time, it was not bubbly, and after 16th, 17th century, it started to be bubbly. So, long story short, it was only safe for them, and they used to drink in the castle, like Versailles Castle. After, it became kind of a popular beverage and access to you, which is great, but we have to keep this perception, which it is, because due to the tiniest small part of the vineyard which represent, we want to keep this image.
Well, it makes sense. Was it Churchill said, we don't fight for France, we fight for champagne?
Yeah, and he's right.
So
that's what he left us behind in Dunkirk in 1940. He took only the English, you know, Marines in his boat.
I understand it perfectly. But see, you say it's a royal beverage. I mean, you're sitting here in a country that's a democracy. We moved here to get away from the royal beverage. And I think that's something we're talking about. And it's one of the things we started out with, the concept Americans only drink champagne when it's a special occasion. And I think it's an image like that, that people thinking it's a royal beverage, it's an expensive beverage, that keep people from drinking it every day.
Yeah, but may I say, stop saying it's expensive. It's not that expensive. Take an example. I'm talking in general, not only for my stuff, but just for champagne. Wine. You want a great bottle of wine? It's going to be $85 to $100, whatever is Burgundy, Napa, or Bordeaux, to just name those, okay? For $35.99, you got a bottle of champagne. So where is expensive? Now, for celebration, which means special days, graduation of the tiny one because you stop paying his college, which I understand, it's a great day. For the parents, you take a Blanc de Blanc vintage, you take, you know, a Magnum, you got something really special in the champagne lane. People see champagne at one with bubbles, but you've got, and you have it in the studio today, seven different ones, from $35 to $300 a bottle. So that's my point. A celebration, we hear it that way in Europe, but we had two world war and 58 million people dead. So we know that every day you got your two legs, your two arms, and you take it for granted, we stand up and you're in good health, that's celebration.
There we go.
That's my point.
Every day above ground is a good one. Exactly.
Cheers, honey.
Cheers, darling. All right, so we're talking about champagne. At least some of us are. We have a group left unheard of for the most part. Gary, you're off being awful quiet for a man who's experienced behind that microphone.
Well, you know, I was sitting here trying to come up with the perfect question for Jerome, and I think I've got it. I've sat back and I've said, all right, what is the perfect question? We've heard a little bit about champagne. We've heard some of the technical aspects of champagne, when to drink champagne, which is all the time. It's good with every meal. But here's a question for you. You're an incredible storyteller. So tell us a story, Jerome. Tell us all about the strangest place that you drank champagne, or the best story you've ever heard about something similar to that.
It took you 40 minutes to come up with that question?
That's a good question.
All right.
I will answer the two questions and it's one answer. But, okay, I'm married now, but it was way a time I was not married. Now you start to, like, it's crispy story. The best and the weird or what's strangest in a place, it was in a suite in a hotel. I came with 12 magnums, filled out the bathtub and made love all night.
That's strange?
That's not strange. That's delicious.
Okay.
I thought that was one of those everyday French things.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was not working for Tattinger this time. It cost me a lot.
See, that's one of the reasons why we have a perception of champagne being expensive. They keep filling it up with bathtubs.
But, of course, you have to be chilled champagne, so you have to be motivated.
Well, Gary, I've got... all right, here we go. This was resembling lunch. Well, Gary, of course, that puts you on the spot. It must have stemmed from the idea that you were thinking of a very strange place you had drunk champagne.
Well, there I was. It was me, a couple of Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. No, that was in a dream.
Okay.
I think the best place was climbing. This sounds so cliched, though. I almost don't even want to say it. Maybe I'll make up something.
Come on.
No, it was actually, it was climbing a mountain. We brought a bottle of champagne with us, and we climbed a mountain up in New Hampshire called Mount Monadnock. And it was me and a girlfriend of mine, and opening up the bottle there and being alone. Doesn't this sound smarmy and so romantic?
That was smarmy and romantic? We're going to go in the same sentence? I worry about you.
Gary, well, it is.
It's, was it good or was it cork?
All right. I think we are going to take a grand detour at this point and kind of walk away from that concept. But actually, it brings up a whole different side of champagne I hadn't thought about. Now, we talk about champagne and we talk about royal and expensive times and the fact we use it for celebration. Why is champagne always linked to romantic occasions? Why can't it just be people starting out the meal? Why does it always have to be something between a man and a woman? Are there not times where you can just drink champagne? Can girlfriends and I not hang out and drink it? Why is there always a romantic liaison attached with champagne? Frank, I haven't heard a word from you. You're probably good for this one.
I just woke up. Thank you, Laura.
Okay.
No, I really don't know that there's a reason that it has to be a romantic occasion at all. You know, I've known many people that just, like you said, open a bottle of wine, a bottle of champagne as an everyday occasion, and for no reason to celebrate.
You know, it's interesting. I'm sitting here and I'm in a room full of men, but yet the two stories they tell about champagne involve talking about being with a woman or some kind of experience. And I think that's an interesting question for our listeners. Give me an idea. Call in the wine line 877-4-CRUSH-1 or either email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. I'm not looking for specific details, but I'm looking for a reason. Why do men think champagne is romantic? Why do men think that this is like the key to a woman's heart? Now, granted, you give me Tattinger Rosé, and I'm certainly going to be happy. Jerome, we're going to wrap this segment. You have one of my favorite quotes ever, something along the lines of...
About champagne? No,
yes.
Older ladies are beautiful. Was above champagne, they are outstanding.
No, well, all right. I'm going to give you a little bit of credit on that one. Right now, we're going to have to take a small break, but when we return, I'm going to tell you about the absolute best quote I've ever heard, and we're going to take a moment to wrap up this week's segment.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
An adult elephant can weigh up to 6 tons. The average person, 150 pounds. Ever heard of carfentanil? It's a large wild animal tranquilizer. Illegal drug dealers lace heroin with it. It can kill the average human. If you or a loved one is addicted to opiates, even pain pills, don't wait until it's too late. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. We care. Many of us have been where you are. We'll take you or a loved one away from the drug environment to a place you can clean out safely. Plus, we'll work with your insurance company to make sure you get the treatment you need. And with a Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed by law to get away for help without telling your employer why. Call now to save a life.
800-915-9734. 800-915-9734. That's 800-915-9734.
The IRS is the most feared agency in the world. You've heard ads from other companies offering to help taxpayers only if they owe over $10,000. Here at Platinum Tax Defenders, we're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, and we're proud to be one of the only tax firms in the country who understands that people who owe less than $10,000 need help just as badly. The IRS doesn't care how much money you owe. They'll still garnish your wages and even seize your assets. So whether you owe just a few $1,000s or hundreds of thousands, call now for your free tax consultation. If you qualify, we may even be able to reduce your tax debt down to a small fraction of what you owe. So don't wait until the IRS seizes your property and garnishes your wages. Call 800-856-1330 and get your tax problem resolved once and for all. That number again is 800-856-1330. 800-856-1330.
As I went through school, one giant question loomed over me. What did I want to be? But in order to know what I wanted to be, I had to first decide what I wanted to make. I wanted to make more. So I became a teacher. Now I make learning a privilege, not a chore. And frustration, a tool, not an obstacle. I make working hard seem easy, and giving up impossible. I make an old subject feel like a fresh thought, and unconventional methods common. I make material things less important. And little things, like patience and kindness, count. I make weekdays more exciting than weekends, and classrooms feel like anything but. I make things different, which is all I ever hoped for. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
This is The Wine Crush, and I'm Laura Lawson, accompanied by a host of great people in the wine business. Most importantly, Jerome Jendin. He is actually the International Director for Tattinger. And we've had a lot of fun cutting up on today's show, talking about different aspects of champagne, talking about different aspects of French and American relations, but most importantly, how champagne can fit into everyday lives. Now, listen, we're having so much fun with the show, and the fact that there's still four bottles of champagne left, we're going to keep this show rolling in the sense that those of you who are enjoying the show are going to have to join us next week. We are going to continue on with Jerome and, of course, our peanut gallery. But as we look towards that, understand what we promised at the top of the show. We are going to let the Frenchman loose with a sword. As you can see, we're already loose with corks here in the studio, so things are going to get very interesting. So you have to stick around, join us for next week here at The Crush, so that you can see how that turns out. Well, Jerome, before we took a quick break, I asked you what exactly was the quote I was looking for, and it took some of our good friends to come up with it. Somewhere along the lines of the only wine in the world that what?
Yeah, the champagne Tattinger. When you drink it, the ladies don't say no anymore, they say maybe. Have a nice evening, guys.
Yes, of course, Jerome needs all the help that he can get. But in all sincerity, if one thing we have hit home in this segment is the fact that champagne should be an everyday celebration. It is not a luxury item. It is not the drink of kings. It's the drink of every single one of us. And Jerome certainly hit a nerve with me in the sense that every day above ground, with everything that's going on in the world, from all the earthquakes, from all the recession to everything that's happening, any day that you can have a wonderful day and wake up is a great day to raise a glass and a good reason to gather with friends, to gather with yourself or anybody else. All right, well, this has been this week's Wine Crush. And as always here in The Crush, we remind you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.